Hello and welcome to another My Tunes podcast here on manxradio.com. Recorded from the morning show, Manx Radio's morning show with me, Mark Tiley, and our friends at Shaw Isle of Man. And I think it's about time we took a look at the weather.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Another week of My Tunes. I'm going to look outside the window and see what the weather's like. Why are you doing that, Mark? Because my guest all this week would know something about the clouds. She'd know a lot about the sea. She knows a lot about the weather and a lot more besides. You've heard her on the radio. We read out her words of wisdom a lot. Kirsty Pendlebury, welcome to My Tunes.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for asking.
Well, thank you for doing it. Let's start with the weather. Were you always interested in the weather?
I have been for quite a long time. My parents took me to see the film Twister back in 1997. And from that moment onwards, basically all I've ever had an interest in was weather, storm chasing. And weather forecasting was sort of the thing that sort of caught me. And that's what I wanted to do. So from then on, it was just trying to get to doing that job, basically.
It is a bit like talking about music. You talk about music, everyone has an opinion. You talk about weather, everyone has an idea. They have their own ways of looking at what's going to happen and disagreeing, agreeing. How accurate, now this is the first big question, how accurate is it as a forecaster to get it right? How difficult?
I think like nowadays, in comparison to like 20, 30 years ago, there's a lot more opportunity for us to be able to get the forecast right because the computers are so much more intelligent than they were. So the computer models can give us much more information. So you wouldn't get caught out the same way as like Michael Fish did, for example.
Ooh, yeah.
So I think our accuracy on the whole is an awful lot better, certainly for the days 1, 2 and 3. Once you start to get to day 4 and 5, it starts to get a bit trickier in terms of detail, but you can sort of say whether it's going to be drier or wetter and warmer and or cold, a general trend. But there's always one day that'll just catch you out and it'll do the opposite to what you think.
Yeah, we'll talk about barbecue planning on the Isle of Man later in the week. Music. What was the music you grew up with as a little one? What was around you?
So mum and dad really used to play, I remember a lot of Fleetwood Mac and also some Tina Turner as well. I do remember my mum having the video of Tina Turner's songs and us dancing around the living room to it. I always sort of had that sort of music around when I was younger.
It's quality growing up material, that Fleetwood Mac, Tina Turner, nothing wrong with that. And when you went to school, you were at school here.
Mm-hmm, that's correct, yeah.
But presumably you had to go away to do the full training for the Met Office.
Yeah, I was at school at Arbury Primary School and then on to Castle Rushen. Did a little bit of music there actually, but unfortunately when you want to do something science, your two interests sort of diverge a little bit and music sort of wasn't really going to get me where I was, so I had to drop that. But I went off to Reading University and I did a Bachelor of Science degree in meteorology with a foundation science year, because at school I was never very good at maths. So I had to go and just improve my maths before I could get onto the degree. On the whole, like, the degree was very difficult. It took me like a lot of, I had to work hard at it. I wasn't a natural, I got there eventually.
Oh, well done. Congratulations. And then you brought your skills back here for us.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, at the time I wanted to try and join forecasting. There wasn't a position at Ronald's Way at the time. Obviously, they were quite a small office. So I went away and worked for the UK Met Office for a little while and did the training course over there, which is one that I would have been sent to from the Isle of Man if I'd have been taken on here first. And basically completed the course there, completed a year and a half's training, and then there just happened to be a job turned up at Ronald's Way, and I applied for it. Didn't think I'd get it because I didn't actually have enough experience as they wanted. I've been back here now 7 years.
Well, thank you for coming back and thank you for looking after our weather. Let's have our first piece of music. What's it going to be?
Well, I figured that it would be remiss me to come on and not to have a weather-related song. And this song reminds me very much of my time at Castle Rushen as well, because I used to sing in the blues band there, and it was one of the songs that we used to sing. And it's Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves.
tunes all this week. We're looking at the weather. Well, not all this week. We'll be talking about lots of other things. But my guest is Kirsty Pendlebury from the Met Office at Ronald's Way. Kirsty, thanks again for coming along.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, yesterday you said, yeah, 2 or 3 days ahead, you can be pretty accurate. Bit more than that, it gets a bit more general. What's the easiest weather to predict? Is rain pretty obvious? Can you see that coming in from a long way away? How does it work?
Yeah, with a lot of the information we get these days from satellite imagery and rainfall radar, it's a lot easier for us to sort of see weather coming mainly from the Atlantic, because that's where the majority of our weather comes from, the west. And in particular, proper weather systems with weather like significant rainfall, persistent and heavy rain, that's usually one of the easiest things to try to forecast. The main issue, I think, really with forecasting quite often is the timing. Years ago, you probably used to get away with saying today is going to be a dry day or a wet day, but now everyone wants to know more or less to the minute what time the rain's going to start and stop. So that makes it a bit more of a challenge, especially for showers, because they have a tendency to crop up wherever they want, whenever they want, really.
Yeah, and they can move about, obviously, move around. One of the things that we must touch on is the TT, because I know the organisers rely so heavily on you guys at the Met Office to try and get racing away before rain comes in. They'd be lost without you.
Yeah, this year's a bit of a strange one, really, because usually there's sort of 5 high-pressure weeks of the year for us, where you've got the Festival of Motorcycling, Manx Grand Prix, TT, and then the Southern 100 as well. And your phone is a bit like a hotline direct to them then, especially for the TT course races. I think whoever decided to race on an island in the Irish Sea that goes from, sort of the race course goes from mean sea level to 1,500 foot and, you know, covers 30-odd miles, didn't really think about the Manx weather when they sorted that out, because trying to get perfect conditions for everywhere is very difficult, especially that lingering low cloud over the mountain.
Yeah, people often say it's lovely in Ramsey and it's chucking it down in Kirkmichael or Douglas or whatever. Yeah, difficult. What was it like, having come back and got the job, being told, would you mind going on the radio and talking on the radio? How was that a bit frightening?
I always knew I wanted to come back to the island, and I was very aware of the fact that the radio broadcaster with Manx Radio were a part of the job, so I knew it was something that would hopefully be coming my way at some point. But yeah, I don't think anything ever completely prepares you for that first broadcast, and I know I came across very, very nervous on it as well when I listened back to it. I think it's a learning experience, and you sort of get more confident as the more you do it. And I think a lot of it isn't necessarily delivering the forecast, it's the interaction with the presenters as well before and after the forecast. And I think that comes from just getting to know those people when you're speaking to them on a regular basis, really.
And you certainly, Chris Williams took you under his wing, didn't he?
Yes, that's one way of putting it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a polite way of putting it. He did. He still does. Now, this next piece of music, when we were talking earlier, cropped up in Sex in the City. And it's a version that I haven't heard, well, for a very long time. Tell me about it.
Well, when I was at university, I was in a halls for my first year, a really good group of girlfriends. And then we all moved out into a house together for our second and third year. And during our time at university, we spent quite a lot of time watching Sex and the City, watching all the way through all of the series. And this song was in the very final episode of the last series. So it's one of those songs that, you know, when you hear it, it takes you back to somewhere, a memory of where you were. And it was being at university with my friends. And to be honest, those girls are sort of friends for life. You know, we still keep in touch. It's really quite difficult. Obviously, at the minute, it's not as easy for us to keep in touch. We spread from Portsmouth to Cambridge to Loughborough, London and the Isle of Man. So trying to get us all together with children and families now makes it a lot more complicated. But it just always reminds me of them and, my special friendship that I have with them.
Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you've got the love I need to see me through.
week on My Tunes, we're keeping one eye on the weather and on some top tunes because my guest is Kirsty Pendlebury from the Met Office. Kirsty, we've talked about various bits of weather, but here's one for you. We do get storms on the Isle of Man when we get, and they can get really, really tricky. How easy is it to see them building and assess how dangerous they're going to be?
A lot of it, I think, comes from experience. So the longer you've been forecasting as well, sometimes the easier it is to sort of spot these things because you'll be like, oh, I'm sort of recognising something similar to this before. The computer models, that like the information we get back now, are really quite accurate, particularly if the weather systems are coming from the west. Sometimes if they're something coming from the east, it can be a bit more difficult. But generally speaking, like, it's a lot easier now to sort of pick it up. Sometimes trying to get the extreme values of certainly heavy rainfall is a really tricky one. Quite often you can see rain amounts at low levels being like a third of what you'll see over hills. You really get like an orographic enhancement over the hills, and obviously
hang on, orographic enhancement. I've no idea what that means. What on earth is that?
Basically, it just means that the hills, the land itself, and the height of it is adding to the impact, like, into how much rain.
Educational, you see. We bung that in just to keep you on your toes. Orographic what?
Orographic enhancement.
I'm going to use that in conversation later. Brilliant. So, okay, but does the steam packet have its own additional thing? Someone told me they measure wave height, or is that what you do for them?
Yeah, so basically when you call up and you ask us what the state of sea is, and we say slight, moderate, or rough, or very rough, there's actual wave heights that match with those criteria. So if the wave heights are expected to be on average between 1.2 metres and 2.5 metres, then that's a moderate sea state.
Is there a buoy out there that measures the wave height for them? How does that work?
There are some buoys that give us information back in to put back into the computer model. And then we get actual data from the computer model as well. Back in sort of like 10, 20 years ago, we didn't have those models as accurately as we do now. So that information is really, really useful, especially when you have got a storm coming our way and you're concerned that it might, you know, put the boat out of their limits for operating.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about movies, because your next track is from a massive movie. Are you a big movie fan?
Yeah, I do like movies. I'm a big musicals girl as well, to be honest. I love going and seeing shows and stuff. And this next song's from a film that is fairly recent, actually, only out a few years ago. At the time when everyone was talking about it, I thought, oh, is it really that good? And then I watched it and quite honestly was hooked. So this one's the problem with that. It's The Greatest Showman. And I just think, like, the music throughout it, it's very upbeat. It, like, tells a really good story. The girl that sings the song that I've chosen next, Kiala Settle, I just think the words in the song are very empowering, and they sort of make you feel like, yes, I can do this. And obviously there's been times in my life where I've struggled, like I said, with my maths and have had to work really hard to get to where I am now. So I feel like people can relate to the words in this song, whereby, you know, you've had to overcome some obstacle at some point, but it makes you feel like, yeah, I've done it, I've got here, and you can be proud of where you are and how you've got there.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. Wanna cut me down? I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown a mound. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen, I make no apologies. This is me. Another
gonna send a bird, gonna drown a man. This is brave, this is bruised, this is who I'm meant to be, this is me.
Tunes on a Thursday with my guest all this week, Kirsty Pendlebury. We've talked an awful lot about the weather because that's what we do in the Isle of Man, and when you've got a weather person with you, you're bound to do it lots. But Kirsty, I want to talk about a couple of other things. Lifeboats and the Ella Alsard Scholarship.
Oh yeah, well, that was an amazing opportunity. Basically, I was suggested by a friend, when you get this letter through the post from the government about the Ella Rollison Scholarship, you should really apply for it. And I said, all right, okay. She said it's about a scholarship you can win to go and study in America for a year. All right, okay. Filled out the application form, sent it in. Had to send like a biography of like why I thought that I'd be good as being a Manx person, being an ambassador for the Isle of Man in Idaho. And went for the interview. Was convinced I hadn't got it, and then got the phone call later that afternoon to offer me the opportunity to go. And then I was like, oh, I hadn't really thought about what it would actually be like to go to America, so I'd, you know, like, better think about getting myself organized to go. In some ways, it was one of the most challenging things I've ever done in my life, moving to America on my own without the support network of my family and things like that. But equally, it's been the most rewarding as well, because I just met so many amazing people and had such an amazing experience, got to share my love for the Isle of Man. I'm a very homely girl. You can take the girl out of the Isle of Man, but you can't take the Isle of Man out of the girl. So any opportunity to talk about home and things that we do here was, you know, I took it really.
And were you staying with a family over there, or were you in the sort of a hostel? How did it work?
So there was a host family who met me from the airport, Granny and Grandpa Idaho, who've both sadly passed away now. But I still keep in touch with their daughter. And I stayed with them for about 3 or 4 days in their Manx room in their house. And they actually knew Ella Rollison. They were neighbours of hers.
Wow.
That's how they ended up being involved in the scholarship. And then they helped me move into halls, and they looked after stuff that people had left, the previous girls had left. So you didn't have to go and buy all new crockery or anything like that. There was stuff there for you to use. And then I was in halls for the rest of the year. But they would then meet me, take me out for dinner, take me out for dessert, take me to the county fair, things like that. So it was just like having a family there as a support network for you.
Absolutely lovely. And you do learn so much more about a country when you're living in it than having a little holiday or a quick visit, don't you?
Yeah, the funniest thing was, you think, oh, you're going to America, it's going to be massive. You're coming from a tiny island in the middle of the Irish Sea. And Seattle Airport was massive. I had culture shock there when I had landed, and I was sat there and I thought, right, OK, CNN's on the TV. I'm paying for my sweets or my candy with nickels and dimes, and I don't know what they mean. And then I get on the little smaller aircraft, similar to the ones that fly to the Isle of Man, land at this airport, which is literally smaller than Ronald's Way, and there wasn't even a conveyor belt, and basically this metal shutter came up and they chucked your bag at you through the metal shutter. And I'm like, okay, where am I? You know, it was proper small town America actually where I was, not what you see on the TV at all, really.
Brilliant. What an experience. Let's talk about the lifeboats. You have a role with them as well.
Yeah, I'm involved with Port St Mary Lifeboat. My father's been on the crew for over 30 years, so it's always been in my family growing up. A couple of years ago, I was asked whether or not I'd be interested in doing what they call the launch authority role, whereby when the Coast Guard gets a shout from a vessel that's in trouble, then they will page the launch authority, and then they're sort of the go-between between the Coast Guard getting the information of what's happened and then passing it on to the coxswains of the boat, and, you know, making sure that the crew and everything are all ready and in a good position to go out to sea, and that it's safe for them as well. So it's a really interesting role. It's quite a daunting role when you think of some of the conditions that your crew could be going out in, but it's really nice just to give something back to the community, especially having, we've actually had some people who've been rescued from the boat stay at my parents' house when I was younger. So when you've seen that firsthand, you realise what an amazing job they actually do.
Well done for getting involved with that. And I guess it brings us full circle back to the weather, because chances are a lot of these incidents that you're heading up happen in pretty dreadful weather.
Yeah, and obviously there's a huge chunk that usually happen when something extreme with the weather may make something on a boat break, and that will cause a call out. Sometimes as well it can happen in good weather when there's a lot more boats out and about, and people wanting to get out on the water. So yeah, it's always interesting. You never quite know when that page is going to go, and it always sort of takes you by surprise initially when it starts going.
Keep one eye on it in here, just in case. Kirsty, thank you for a fabulous week, fascinating week, and thanks to you and all the team at Ronald Tway at the Met Office. Your contribution is, your every word is listened to and analysed by everybody on the island and around the coast as well. So thank you.
Well, thanks very much for asking me. It's lovely to actually come and be this side of the microphone in the same building rather than down the road.
And what's our final track?
This last song is quite important to me. Like I said, I'm a very Manx girl, and I used to get quite homesick when I was away at university, and of course when I was in America as well. So certain things to remind me of home were always really important, and this song was one of them. The most memorable bit for me was when Robin Gibb came to the island and played at the Peel Bay Festival. I was at home for the summer from university, and I remember a Manx flag flying on the stage, and he sang the first few notes of this, and I literally got goosebumps.
Here he is, Robin Gibb. This recording actually with the King William's Choir as well. Throw them in for good measure. Thank you, Kirsty.
Thank you.
When the summer day is over, it's busy guests have blown, I will sit beneath the starlight. The weary heart of love, then it rises like a vision, sparkling bright, it shines for me. My own dear Ellen Manning, it is.
I'm going back.
Robin Gibb, Ellen Vanin, absolutely gorgeous. Thank you, Kirsty Pendlebury, for choosing that and for all your great tracks in My Tunes this week. I'm Mark Tiley. There'll be another My Tunes podcast soon, right here at manxradio.com.